Oh, hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought, man, I can't believe I said that. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just natural to want to say and do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do it, and it doesn't matter. You just want to do it. So I ask you again, have you ever said or done something you thought, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said it. Yeah. And you know, you may have done it to your parents. I can remember one time growing up. I can remember one time when I was growing up and my mother was sweeping with a regular broom on a regular floor, and I walked through her trash pile. Son, don't you walk through that trash pile again. And I looked back with a look of disgust and kind of went, huh, I can walk anywhere I want to walk. And I turned my head and made about another half a step before I felt that broom across the shoulders of my back. And I turned around and I said, yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, your parents, it's easy. Or how about your brother and sister? It's easy just to speak your mind, say what you want to say, and just let it fly. Yeah. Or how about a teacher in class or in college? Dr. Davidson in college, you know? Or, you know, you say it to a child, or you say something to your child, and after you said it, you think, gosh, I can't believe I said that. Or when you said something and you said, I can't believe that, and the next sound that you hear are handcuffs clicking. Yeah. You know, you might say something and a guy says, hands on the car. The next thing you know, it's click, click, click. Can you loosen those a little bit for me, officer? Yeah. And once the genie is out of the bottle, it's out. It's gone. You got to forget about it. And a lot of times you can track what you said back to how you felt first. Like something made you angry to do it. Like my mother challenging me for walking through her sweet pile. You know, it's inside. And you get angry. And then it comes out. Just know that when you do that, there may be consequences. Yeah. Don't feel like you're alone. Because you're not. Mm-hmm. The bigger question is, you have to sort this thing out. And if you got this thing totally conquered, then you can just shut off right now. But I don't have it totally conquered. And I've got to tell you that Scripture's got some really good examples of this occurring and a good way to overcome it. So, number one, you're not alone. Don't think that you are. Because you're not if you battle with this. I want to give you a story about a person. And he said, in his mind, I'm sure, I'm taking just a little bit of liberty with the scripture coming up. But I guarantee you, after he said this, he probably thought, I can't believe I said it. The guy's name is Peter. He was one of the apostles. He was one of those closest to Jesus. He was one of the most powerful men after Jesus' death to run the church, to get the church going. And it was the night that Jesus was betrayed. Peter was saying to Jesus, well, I'll go to prison with you. I'll even go to death with you. And Jesus said, look, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Here's how it goes. The disciples were in the upper room. It was the week of Passover, and that week of Passover, that week of Easter, that Holy Week, it's on the way now. So I want you to know that they were in the upper room. They were having their last supper, and they were arguing over who would be the greatest. And there was an argument back and forth, and this disagreement shook out. And Peter said, look, Jesus, I'll go to jail with you, and I'll go to death with you. And after that was said, and after the Last Supper was over and the First Communion was over, they went out to the garden. Jesus was arrested, taken to the house of the high priest, Caiaphas, and Peter followed. That's early in the morning, and it's early Friday morning in Holy Week. So Peter's there with them. After they'd been up all night, Jesus had been on the mountain, and he'd been praying, and his disciples fell asleep. And as Jesus was taken custody and put into the area of Caiaphas' house, there was a crowd that was gathering out, and it was cool, so they made a fire, a small fire. And then the questions about Jesus started coming, because many of them had been in the garden when Jesus was taken. And Peter responded, and he may have responded like any of us would respond when challenged. It's recorded here in Luke 22, 56 and 57. So as they were around this fire, it was at night, early in the morning, fixing to be Friday morning, a servant girl saw him, Peter, seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. And then a little later, someone else saw him in 58. You're also one of them. He says, man, I am not. And then about an hour later, I want you to know that two of the three denials have already come. And it says, about an hour later. You see, I wonder, was he thinking about what Jesus had said? Was he contemplating? Or was he hoping no one would ask him another question? About an hour later, another one asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Just as Jesus had predicted, just as Peter had heard just a few hours earlier. And then it's recorded here in Luke 22, 61, it says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times. Now, I'm going to take a little liberty with Scripture here, because it does not say this. But I can believe in Peter's own mind, he thought, I can't believe I said it. And in Luke 22, 62, it says, and then he went outside and wept bitterly. You see, we can say things that we can't believe, and they just come out. Peter had remorse. Have you ever said something, and it came out, and just as soon as it was out of the gate, you wished you could get it back? Just as soon as it parted your lips. But it came out so quick you just couldn't grab it. Well, you're not alone. The scriptures say this, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there is good news. Number one, we all sin. And number two, did God forgive Peter? Yeah. Can God forgive us? Yeah. And this that comes out of the mouth, it's really easy to get irritated. Something can fire you up for no reason. Like maybe it's turning on the TV. Or maybe it's flipping through something that somebody sent you on a text or a message and you don't understand it totally. And the first thing you want to do is fire back. Nobody does that. Yeah, you better practice a 10-second rule on text or maybe 10 minutes. And so this irritation, it comes from within. Here's what Matthew says about it. Matthew says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. So we got to fight to keep this heart clean, because man, it's close to the mouth. It really is. It's not like you've got a lot of time to think about it. And there's some jewels in Proverbs. I won't give you all of them, but there's a lot of them. And this is one that my mother would have loved to say to me. It's Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I bet you can hear your own mother saying that. Or your spouse. You know? So the bottom line is, controlling your temper and tongue, it can be like riding a bull for 8 seconds. Most people only make it a second or two. Some people don't even try. So how do we get ahead of ourselves? How do we do that? How do we stop this stuff before it comes out? How do we control it? Well, the book of James has got a verse or two that's really good. It might help us all not have to say or think, I can't believe I said that. It's in James 1, verse 19 and 20. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, he says, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce a righteousness that God desires. He says, take note of this. It's a control issue. And it's really a process if you think about it. Any of you folks in here that are process people, I'm a process person. I study processes and how they work. And so processes are important to me. Here's how it goes. Somebody says something, you get angry, and it just brews. Or you read the text, and they sent you back a smart text, or a stinging text, or a hateful text, and it just brews. And then it just pops out. It pops back. Like, put your phone down at night. Leave it alone. You've taken your sleep medicine. Leave it alone. And it can be very tempting, this whole anger process. I mean, because it starts in here and it gets in your heart. My wife and I, 25 or 30 years ago now, I remember it because I remember the truck that I was in. And we were on Granada Avenue, State Road 40, going west to get on the interstate. And we had been in Ormond and got into a disagreement. And that disagreement stewed a little bit. And after it stewed, it just got in me. And we were talking. She was talking. And I was stewing. And she was talking. And it was just like I was turning up the temperature inside. It was boiling. And I had both hands on the steering wheel, and I would just look at her. Both hands on the steering wheel. We pulled up to Highway 40 in Nova, near where the Reflections building is over here on the left. Now, bear in mind, this was maybe 30 years ago. I was a lot less mature. I hadn't figured some things out in my life. And so she went to say one other thing, and I looked over and she says, "You really just want to hit me, don't you?" You see, that broke the ice. Because it was the truth. She had seen how worked up I had got and couldn't believe it. I'm getting all worked up over this little thing, which you couldn't pay me $1 million now to think what it was. But it was 100% deep in here. And it had worked up to my heart, and I wanted to come out so bad, but I knew if I did, and I'm holding the wheel, and man, she just broke the ice. We just started laughing. I was tempted, man.
It was your fault.
It was my fault. Yeah, I'm guilty. You see, I was so tempted, and then I've learned a few things about temptation. Look what James has to say. James 1. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it's a process. It gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. You're dragged away and enticed by your own desire. It's what's in us. And when it's full grown, it can lead to death. Maybe your death. Maybe your spiritual death for sure. But if you do the wrong thing with that anger that has been born and conceived from you, there can be consequences. And maybe it's to someone that you love that you say it to or do it really close to. You know, when you do those sort of things, when you just talk off the cuff and say whatever you want, and afterwards you're saying, "I can't believe I said that." You see, it smothers their desire. The things that they wanted to do, those words can smother their desire. It can sure smother the desire in a relationship. It kills their spirit. It can take away their dreams. The main thing I want you to know is that what you say and do matters. Amen. It matters. It matters to you. It matters to everybody. It matters to God. And if we're going to grow towards Christ, we got to overcome this. We can't just say what we want, when we want, how we want, do what we want. We got to kind of get gripped. We got to get our fingers in it. If we're going to have our families grow towards Christ, we got to get our fingers in it. Those we love, what you say matters. That's one of the things I want you to know, and here's why I want you to know it. The tongue that is the closest often cuts the deepest. I bet you can remember. I bet you could. Tracy remembers. I bet you can remember when those words came at you and cut. They cut you to the bone. So much that you were numb. Something that someone did, you say, I can't believe they did that. They did that to me. And if you can remember it, what someone said or did to you, then someone that you said it to can remember it too. So what should we do? How are we going to solve this? Have you ever heard this? Put your mind in gear before your mouth. Put your mind in gear before your mouth. Put your mind in gear before your mouth. Stop the bleeding. Don't let it happen. James had the answer. Be quick to listen. And don't just listen so that you can get ready to prepare the argument that you want to do when they're going to say something back. That's not really listening. But it's common because we want to win. And it doesn't matter how we win, we want to win. Yeah. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. And yeah, I'll tell you, slow to speak on the internet. Slow to speak on Facebook. Slow to speak with those that might tell you something that may offend you or hurt you. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. When that anger starts boiling, try to vent it off. Like if you could just vent off some air. Yeah, but the way you do that is you be quick to listen and slow to speak. Diffuse that anger. You know, de-escalation is being talked about all over the news. We should de-escalate. And it's meant to de-escalate a situation. No, I'm talking about self de-escalation. So what should you do? See, once the words are out and anger has been displayed, you can try, but you cannot get it back. Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Now, if you're in control, you can only go so far. You've only got so much endurance. You've only got so much strength. You've only got so much patience. If you're in charge of self-control, it's only so tight you can hold before you just get tired. There's only one person that can help you with that.
Jesus.
And that's Jesus. So if you're having trouble with self-control, today's the day. Here's a good question. When's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago is the best time because it'll be ready for us now, right? So when's the second best time to plant a tree? Right now. If you don't have control and you've tried to do it yourself, and you've said and done things where you said, I can't believe I said that, then let, whenever you said that to yourself, let that be the last time. Start asking the one that can help you with that to come take control of your heart. Start asking the one that can help you get a hold of your tongue. If you've been trying to control, let the one that can do it now. Today, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And a gentle tongue is a tree of life. So if you struggle in this area, look, God's not mad at you. And if you failed miserably in this, and the last time you said or did something where you had to think, I can't believe I said or did that, if it was an hour ago, that's okay. I'd recommend you try to make it right with who you said it and Amen. Did it to. Yeah. I'd recommend you go and ask forgiveness. But I'd ask you to do this. See, God can take that away. This week, today, let this simmer. When anger and frustration begins, take note of what James said. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now let's pray. If this is you that has issues with anger, with controlling your tongue, with saying anything you want, right now, if this is you, I want to pray for you. If this is you, and you've offended somebody, I want to pray for you. But I also want you to know that God has paid the price for this. Dear Father, we ask you, Father, for those that have fallen in this area, that struggle in this area, that you would give them strength and hope. And Father, those that need help making things right, that you'd give them strength, courage to do that. Father, for those that still struggle in this area, that your Spirit would come in and they would yield to you to give you control. I thank you, and I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
This is Pastor Louis. I hope you've enjoyed the message today, and I hope that it has encouraged you. If you need any further information about the message or our ministries, please contact us at the numbers on the screen. Our live worship is 10:30 each Sunday morning, and we can also be seen on YouTube and Facebook at thelivingcornerstone.org. Be blessed.